Hello, this is Rachi Lerner speaking with you today from OU Radio. Our topic for today is part two of ridding oneself of one's spiritual chametz, getting rid of one's internal leavened bread. Last week we concluded by speaking of what is the essence of slavery. And we said that the key ingredient to being a slave is acting on others' behest, acting for other people. And we can also incorporate it with the idea that we discussed with Rav Hirsch, that a slave's time is not his own. His time is allocated to him by God. And we can also say the slave is basically a simple individual, not a puffed up, haughty individual. Certainly slavery and arrogance are orthogonal dimensions. One cannot be a slave and be haughty at the same time. But what does it mean to be free? When I taught years ago, when I was all of 18 and a half years old, I taught Russian students. It was my first teaching job. And they had just gotten off the boat and come to America, and I spoke not a word of Russian, and they spoke not a word of English. We had one young man in the class who was about 14, and he spoke some English, and he was my interpreter. And I started to teach them about Pesach, and I started to talk to them about behavior, and all of a sudden, one of the students in the class picked up a chair and threw it at me. I said, no, there'll be no throwing chairs in this classroom because there are rules. And he said, no rules. America free. Do what you want. And I said, no, free people do not do what they want. There is no such thing as absolute freedom. Freedom, it does not mean that you are unbridled. It is not The Lord of the Flies by William Golding, where you do whatever the heck you want. There are laws, and the laws regulate. If you want to test this principle, go 90 miles an hour, if you possibly could, on the West Side Highway, and you will be stopped, because there are rules. Freedom means something entirely different. And how do we define freedom? So according to Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, continuing his analysis, freedom means acting in a way that is true and genuine to one's own independent self. This is true both on an individual level and on a national level. What happened in Mitzrayim? In Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were enslaved by the Egyptians, who determined how the Jews would act and what they would do each and every day. When Hashem took the Jews out of Mitzrayim, they were suddenly able to control their own fate and determine their own destiny. And this was true for each and every Jew, as well as the nation as a whole. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started taking us out of Egypt, the first freedom that we obtained was physical freedom. We stopped being slaves, and we became free men in the desert and later in the land of Israel. But there was also spiritual freedom as well. And we were then, through our spiritual freedom, enabled to achieve true freedom and to have the ability, we were given the opportunity, the ability to be true to our own essential selves. Now, what do I mean by that? You can be a physically free person and a spiritually bonded person. Why is that? Because you can be totally at the mercy of other people's agendas, even if you are physically free. Their spiritual agenda can control what happens to you. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Along with the physical freedom that we obtain when we exit Egypt, we are brought to the place where we can achieve true spiritual freedom. And you obtain true spiritual freedom by being true to who and what you are. And how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the method to obtain this? By what we received on Har Sinai, by the Torah. Let me read you the words of Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, and let's look at it very carefully. God gave the Jewish people the method by which they could express their innate sanctity and holiness. This method was encoded in the Torah that we received on Har Sinai. The Torah is the blueprint through which the Jew discovers his own true self and his own true worth. It's a beautiful thought. Let's take a look at that. When we become servants to God, when we become an Eved Hashem, Ovdei Hashem, servants to God, and we keep his Torah, we are not recapitulating a servitude and switching our taskmaster from Paro to Hashem. It's a completely different experience in its entirety. The service of God, says Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, is not considered to be servitude because it is not following something other than oneself. I'll say that again. The service of God is not considered to be servitude because it is not following something other than oneself. On the contrary, the Torah is the ultimate expression of the most genuine nature of the individual Jew and the Jewish people. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thought. What does he say? That when you serve God, you are being true to your core self. You are acting in concert with what is vitally and absolutely true about you. There is nothing untrue about that experience. You are absolutely free. You are, so to speak, free to be me. I am free to be my absolute true self. That's what Torah gives us. When I serve God, I am doing exactly what it is I was created to do. There is nothing in me that is acting in such a way that is outside of my experience. I am not serving a taskmaster. And the Rabbanim comment on that in Sefer Shemot, in Perek Lamed Bet, in chapter 32, in verse 16. V'haluchot ma'aseh Elokim hema, and the luchot were the work of God, right? V'hamichtav michtav Elokim hu, and the writing was the writing of God. Charut al haluchot, carved on the tablets. And what does it say? Al tikri charut. Don't read it as charut. Ela cherut. Freedom. And we have the Mishnah in Avot. Perek Vav, Pasuk Bet. In Avot, chapter 6, Mishnah 2. Ein lecha ben chorin. You don't have a free person. Ela mi she'osek batorah. Except for someone who is busy, who learns Torah. Let's say it again. You look inside Shemot Lamed Bet Pasuk Tzed Zion 32:16 in Shemot, and it says Charut al Luchot. The writing was the writing of God carved onto Luchot. Al Tikri Charut. Don't read it as Charut. El Acherut. Freedom is carved into the tablets. Freedom is embodied in the Torah itself. There is freedom in Torah itself. The only person who is free, Ein lecha ben chorin, ela mi she'osek batorah. You have a free person, is a person who is engaged, who is busy, who is learning, assiduously learning the Torah. The only true freedom that we can hope to achieve is the freedom that is gained by following and studying Torah. Because the Torah gives us the opportunity and the ability to know and to express ourselves. What did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush? He said the following, V'zeh lecha ha'ot, ki anochi shlachticha, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. V'hotziacha et ha'am mimitzrayim, when you take the people out of Egypt, ta'avdun et ha'alokim al harzeh, you shall serve God on this mountain. When Moshe meets God at the burning bush, Hashem gives Moshe signs so that he would know that the Jewish people had truly and absolutely exited Egypt. And what was the sign? The sign was that we will serve God on this mountain. What mountain? Har HaMoriah. That we would serve God on the mountain of Moriah. We would become fully realized Jewish people by serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Coming out of Egypt is not a purely physical redemption, and it does not conclude with the physical exodus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us free in the absolute and the truest sense of the word. Therefore, we were free only when we received the Torah, and we entered into the Avdut of Hashem, the service of God, divine service. This is freedom, and this is the nature of Pesach. What do we call Pesach? Zman Cherutenu. The time of our freedom. We are free when we begin to understand that our point of being free is to find Torah. So how is it that we can achieve and cherish freedom? How is it that we can rid ourselves of our spiritual chametz? And so we have to begin by removing all those external items and those ideals that cloud our own vision. We need to rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way of us becoming ourselves. If matzah is the simplest, truest form of bread, it's not puffed up, it's what you see is what you get, it's whistlewig, then we need to rid ourselves, when we're talking about getting rid of our spiritual chametz, we need to rid ourselves of anything and everything that stops us from being ourselves. The drunk person needs to throw away his drink. The gambler, his cards. The overeater, all the stuff that's in his fridge. The person who is obsessed with money, his credit cards. The shopaholic, I guess all the department store cards that come with the territory. Because these items which keep us from being who and what we are called chametz. This is what is meant by chametz. This is why we say that blessing, Ribono Shel Olam, that I quoted for you from Brachot, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Galoy V'Yadu Lefanecha, it is well known before you, Sheritzonenu Lasot Ritzonecha, that we want to do your will, God. Umi Ma'akev, and what gets in the way? Ha'Seor Sheba Isa, the yeast in the dough, and then Ha'Seor Amim, the rest of the nations of the world. The yeast in the dough, says Rashi, is of course the Yetzer Hara. We discussed that before. We want to do what we want to do. We want to do the right thing. We want to be good. We want to do. We want to serve God. But the yeast stops us. The yeast is all of those external issues that control us. We think we control them, but they, in truth, control us. In order to be free, we must dispense with all of the yeast and all of the chametz. Before Chag HaMatzot, before Zman Chirutenu, the festival of our freedom, we need to free the house from any risen and leavened bread. Instead, we eat simple matzah. And we try to just emulate the matzah. We try to be simple people, simple folk, with no hidden agendas, no puffed up selves. And we clean everything away from ourselves, and we leave the core. And it's always fascinating to me to see that the process of getting rid of chametz is a stepwise progression. In what sense? We begin first by searching for it. Though we know ourselves, though we think that we have a clear and keen understanding of who we are, in reality, there is so much about ourselves that we keep dark about. We don't want to always see ourselves too clearly, but Pesach forces us to do a real bedika. You really have to be bodek. You have to search. You have to say, what is it, the part of myself that I don't like? Where is my hidden agendas? What are my secret concerns? Am I arrogant? Am I puffed up? Is there parts of myself that I want to disown, that I want to let go of? Where can I build myself up? How can I be clearer and truer and more essentially free? How can I get back to my core self? And the core self of us is the self that is created b'dmut Elokim, b'tzelem Elokim, the part that is created in the image of God. So we begin by this extraordinary cheshbon hanefesh, this extraordinary soul search, akin to what we do at home. Just like we look at every nook and cranny of our houses, we search high and low, we drive ourselves insane, making sure that there's no chametz. We do the same thing with our spiritual chametz. We search ourselves high and low. We say, what is it about me that needs to change? And so we begin by searching, but where do we end? How do we complete the mitzvah of bidikat chametz? We make the bracha not al bidikat chametz, but al bi'or chametz, on the burning of the chametz. Why? Because it's not enough to identify the hubris, the arrogance, the puffed upness, the addictions, the constraints, the external factors, but we must burn them. And why is it not enough to simply flush chametz down the toilet? It'd be so much cleaner. Burning leaves a mess. Because what is it about fire? Fire is esh ochlahi. Fire is consuming. It devours something in its entirety. It leaves no residue. When we have found the parts of ourselves that we have determined are chametz, are parts that we no longer want, the parts that block and obfuscate what is our true selves, then it's not enough to simply be able to see them. We have to utterly and completely and absolutely eradicate them. That's our job. That's our key. And so we must burn them away from our consciousness. We start Pesach reborn. We start Pesach all over again. We begin. And part of Pesach has a separate element. It has the element of maror, of bitterness. And I think about maror not just in terms of recollecting the bitter lives that we had in Mitzrayim, but also of reminding us that beginning anew can be bittersweet, can be bitter when you start. I'd like to read you a poem again by Marge Piercy and let you see how she conceptualizes maror. A bitter cud, biting into the bitter that bites back. Of all the gross tastes, sweet and salty, sour, we seek it the least. We spit it out, but not tonight. Tonight we must taste our bitterness, bite into our failure, suck its essence. We were slaves in Egypt, the Haggadah reminds us, and we still are. But who enslaves us to what? The bone we chew is our own. Only I can tell myself where I am caught, trapped, held fast, bored but comfortable in the box I know so well. That's exactly what we've been talking about. I know where I'm chametz. I know what boxes are me in. I know where I'm trapped. I know where I'm hoist on my own petard. And she continues, this is the moment for naming that box, for feeling the walls, for studying the dimensions of the prison I must choose to leave in my exodus of one. When you are enslaved to your own desires, to your own external wants and needs, you're not operating freely. You're a slave to your desires. You're a slave to your passion. You're a slave to the fact that you want to have it all. And you must choose to leave, to become entirely free, to bond to something greater than self. She continues, I can join with no one else. I cannot walk out with you until I measure my walls, then break them down, darkness into light. Fear and silence into cursing, the known abandoned for something new and frightening. Bitter is the first taste of freedom. When you begin to let go of all your past stuff, of all your past junk, when you de-chametz yourself, when you de-leaven yourself, when you remove the rising, the yeast, and you simplify and return to the truth that is your freedom, as Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen said, you return to God and his Torah, which permits you to live truly and freely in synchrony with your inner self, then you are facing what is a bitter moment, a moment of pure and difficult discovery. One of my students asked me why it is, since this is such a critical and valuable lesson, why it is that we only eat matzah 1 week out of the year. If it's reminding us to be true to ourselves, to rid ourselves of our arrogance and our hubris, why not eat it 51 weeks of the year and restrict chametz to only the week of Pesach? And the truth is, the bottom line is what we talked about before. Humans habituate. They get used to it. If we ate matzah all year round, the lesson of matzah would be utterly lost to us. We would not see it. We would totally acculturate, acclimate, habituate to it. Because what do human beings notice? They notice what is new and novel. And the Torah says, okay, I will allow you to be creatures of need and desire. I will allow you room to live well and live in concert part of the time with your needs. But know this, I'm going to change things dramatically on Pesach. I'm going to institute the prohibition against chametz. And I'm going to compel you to eat matzah so that 1 week out of the year, you wake up out of your complacency and you face the fact that you need to re-embrace your true and inner self, that you need to re-embrace your freedom. And it is that awareness that drives home the message. Because 51 weeks of matzah, we would be utterly lost to the sound of that communication. Let me wish all of you a chag kasher v'sameach, a happy and a healthy and a very meaningful Zman Chirutenu, a very meaningful time of freedom.